You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Charlotte Wilder, and that over there, as always, is the one and only Amin El-Hassan. Amin, we have a great show for everybody today. We have to talk about those first play-in games, Lakers, Pelicans, Kings, Warriors. And is this the end of the Warriors dynasty? Yeah, coming up soon on Oddball.
Get ready to say some RIPs, everybody.
Yeah,
but then lay them all to rest.
But first, we're going to start with Lakers-Pelicans. The Lakers beat New Orleans 110 to 106. This was the 7-8 game. So the Pelicans have one more chance to still stay alive. They did. Zion played an amazing game. He tied the score up 93-93. He had 40 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. And then he left the court with what appears to be a left hamstring injury. But I mean, I'm most interested in how he left the court after the, which the, granted, this was a devastating moment.
His first game with stakes, real game with stakes. Because remember when the Pelicans made that playoff run a couple of years ago, he was hurt. He didn't play in that. And when they lost in the play-in last year, he was hurt. He didn't play in that. So this is the first time Zion has an opportunity, basically since 2019, since the NCAA tournament, to play in a game that has stakes, play in a game with meaning, with progression or perhaps one step closer to elimination. And he answered the bell like no other. I mean, he came out 20 points in the first half, and Shaq and Barkley and the guys at halftime said, okay, now you got to do it again in the second half. And he said, okay. And he went out and he did it in the second half, and then with about 3 minutes to go, it's a tied game. It's a close game. He tweaks something. We don't really see it. But what we do see is him head off into the locker room. And I know it must be crushing for a guy who's worked so hard to get back and be healthy and finally playing this meaningful basketball. But he stomped off like a toddler, man. He looked so upset. You know what he looked like? He looked like a kid that was promised a pizza party at the end of this. And then when it was just revealed to him, there will be no pizza party. We're having kale salads instead. And they're just like, well, I don't like kale. And that's what it looked like as he stomped kale off salad, to the locker room.
Kale salad with a chance of a pizza party in the future because this isn't over. I just hope so much that he can play because this was so exciting. I was so sad for him because I really think that the Pelicans would have done it if he had stayed in the game. He was cooking, and you know, but you know what he did look like when he stomped off the court? I thought of the Arthur meme. His fists were balled up and he was sort of like, yeah. Which,
big,
you know,
meaty fist, yeah.
Yeah. And I can't blame him. But do you think, I don't know, have you heard anything if he might play or not?
Well, here's the deal, Charlotte. He's been through such a crazy year. It feels like a million years ago, but the whole stuff with like the internet gossip and scandals and all that, and that happened this year. That was all in this season where, you know, the weight clause stuff in his contract came out. Stephen A. Smith getting on him after the IST. He's had so many ups and downs. And so this felt like such a beautiful kind of like, okay, none of that matters, because now that we're playing in games that matter, I show up, I do my thing. And it, you know, his body failed him. And again, fingers crossed, we hope that it's a hamstring. He's got a day to rest, get treatment. The good news is they are the home team. They don't have to travel anywhere. And they await the Sacramento Kings, who they've had a lot of success against during the regular season. So all of those things kind of lean towards, all right, New Orleans, you messed that one up, but at least now you've got a chance to redeem yourself in this second game. And also you get to play what many would consider to be the easier opponent between the top two seeds.
Okay, so, I mean, you took us there. Back to the Lakers side of all of this. Some people were saying, and when I say some people, I'm like, I mean, I don't know who was saying. I feel like the internet, like some people on Twitter were saying this, where it got to the point where a reporter asked Darvin Ham if LA had considered throwing the game against the Pelicans so that they could have then gone on to play the Warriors or the Kings, which assumes in this situation that they would have absolutely beat said team that they were facing and then gone on to play the Thunder in the first round of the playoffs, which to me is just like one of the dumbest things I've ever heard when you walk through it, and we'll get to the reasoning. But first, Darvin Ham also thought it was very dumb. He said, it sounds like, quote, someone that just got out of the insane asylum. He said, that's insane asylum reasoning, which I don't even know if that's kosher to say anymore. But I mean, it is, I have trouble thinking that this is, do you think people actually believe that the Lakers would have done this?
Yeah, that's the 20 CB bell that I just hit there. Insane asylum is very 20th century.
Yeah, we
right
don't
there.
Say that anymore, Darvin. Sorry.
No, and also, to be clear, we don't say funny farm or loony bin either. Keep all of those out of your
Thank you for not saying either of those.
Well, the only way we're going to let people know is if we educate them what's on and off the table. Like those things are the hoo-hoo house. All that stuff is out. Right?
All right. Okay. Back to Lakers.
It is absolute hogwash for a couple of reasons, right? Number one is you're dealing with massively competitive people, right? So the idea that you would walk in a locker room, be the leader of these men, say, we're trying to win a championship. We are good enough to win a championship. Our seed doesn't matter. But kind of let's not play Denver because they kind of kick our ass every time. That mentality doesn't even need play in. It doesn't even impact. And if a leader walked into a locker room and said that, he would instantly lose that locker room. But Charlotte, forget about like manly machismo, whatever, I can do anything. Set that aside, just strategically. You win that game, you are in the playoffs, meaning you have a best of seven chance to beat your opponent. And in the span of 4 to 7 games, a lot can happen. Somebody can get hurt. Somebody could get suspended. Somebody could get sick. Somebody could get ejected. There's so many things that could happen. Somebody could just not have a good series. All those things, you have the opportunity to do that and go ahead and win that series, no matter what the odds are, right?
Right.
If you lose that game, you go to a weird-ass winner-take-all scenario where, yes, if you win, now you get the quote-unquote easier opponent. But you winning that game is not guaranteed. If I think I'm better than someone, I want as many opportunities to play them as possible. Because the shorter the sample size, the smaller the sample size, the more the chance that something weird happens. Let me give you a very exaggerated example. Charlotte, if you went and shot for shot against Steph Curry. Best of 100. The person who shoots best from of 100 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to win that one?
Well, Steph Curry. Well, I have been practicing.
You have been practicing with the nanny and the kid out mm-hmm. on the court. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, imagine I shrank that to one shot. Yes, Steph Curry's a great shooter. But literally, if it's one shot, anything could happen. He could sneeze in the middle. Something could distract him. He could remember something. His phone might ring. Just something could happen, conceivably, to throw off that one shot, whereas the next 99 would have gone in immediately or without problem. Whereas for you, you could make that one shot and probably miss the next 99. But it took was that one shot. And so you never want the sample size to be so small. That's why we don't like, as opponents or as competitors, we don't like game sevens. If I'm up 3-0, let me sweep. If not, let me win in five. If not, let me win in six. Game seven is the hardest thing because anything can happen. So this was always just a silly, silly kind of, it's internet logic. It's from people who do not operate in these circles for real.
Yeah, this is galaxy brain stuff. And I liked what Anthony Davis said about it. He said, if you mess with the game, it will mess with you, which 1,000%. I think that's pretty much how it goes. Like if you play with the basketball gods, they're going to be like, oh, you think you're cute? Cool. You're going to lose. Which takes us to the win or go home game that was last night, which was Warriors Kings.
Yep.
And the Warriors lost. And it was really, really depressing, Amin. And yes, it was at home at the Kings, you know, light the beam, blah, blah, blah. And the Warriors beat them at home last year. Kings got their revenge, did it without Kevin Huerter, without Malik Monk. But Keegan Murray just played his butt off, Keon Ellis. Mm-hmm. And Amin, I have a take that I would like to run by you. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Joe Mazzulla is to thank for Keon Ellis's prowess on defense, because he contested his shot. People forget that was the shot that Joe Mazzulla contested. And if I'm wrong, that's even funnier.
Wait, Joe Mazzulla contesting Royce O'Neal's shot?
Was it Keon Ellis?
No, it was Royce O'Neal.
Royce O'Neal and Keon Ellis are like kind of the same name, though.
Not at all.
A little.
Not even close. They're like there's literally no similarity in the names. The teams they play for, their appearances, their backgrounds.
Royce O'Neal, Keon Ellis. Not even the same amount of syllables.
Not even the same number of syllables. You just wanted to shoehorn Joe Mazzulla in here. I know what you're doing. This is all part of Charlotte's plan to get Joe Mazzulla as a guest on Oddball. And she thinks if she butters him up and does all of this stuff, kind of like singing his praises, that somehow this is going to increase our chances. I don't think that's going to work.
Okay.
And I reject it. No, but you're right. Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray, that's the story of the night is not, we lost to the Kings. They blew us out. We couldn't stop Fox and Sabonis. I think that one you can kind of walk away somewhat with your head held high. Like their stars came out and starred out.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, you got killed by the young boys. And that's the part where, you know, I think when you look at the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, what made them so successful in the past? Part of it, absolutely. Their stars were stars. And Klay Thompson last night going 0 for 10 and looking very mortal, that didn't help. And Draymond did his best, but he's clearly not what he was 2 or 3 years ago. And even Steph, the burden seemed like a lot for him. That's part of it. But the other part that people don't talk about is the Warriors' supporting cast through all those championships was insane. It was like this murderer's row of insane high IQ players who were still close enough to their primes to do damage. Sean Livingston and Leandro Barbosa and Andrew Bogut and Zaza Pachulia and David West. And you know, I know I'm like blending over a couple of different eras here. Otto Porter, Nemanja Bjelica. Like, these weren't guys on the last legs of their career. These weren't guys who were first or second year players trying to figure it out. And when you look at the supporting cast now, that's what it is. It's old guys and it's super young guys. And probably like Gary Payton might be the only guy kind of in the middle in terms of young enough to be impactful.
And he was hurt last night.
Old enough to have some wisdom. And he was hurt last night. So it's without kind of a strong supporting cast, this was always going to be an uphill battle for a team that's already faced so much adversity this year. They had an assistant coach pass away in the middle of the year at a team dinner. The Draymond Green stuff with his suspensions, trying to get Chris Paul integrated. Chris Paul gets hurt. If it wasn't one thing, it was another thing all year long for the Warriors. And this is how dynasties kind of end.
Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Is that famously said by Kermit the Frog? I don't know. I felt like giving credit where credit is due.
Are you doing another thing here where it's like, yeah, Joe Mazzulla contested Keon Ellis and Kermit the Frog said this?
Yes.
Okay.
To me, this, what you were talking about before, about the competitor in the Lakers, about you can't walk into that room and think you're going to lose. To me, this is all sort of a part of the same conversation, because you have, you know, Klay is a free agent, and some people are saying like, well, you know, Klay should just retire. Like, I think what is so difficult about the end of this Warriors dynasty in particular, you know, Draymond, Steph, and Klay, is that it's impossible to believe that you can't do something when your whole life, what you've tried to do has been sort of impossible. Like, saying you're going to play in the NBA, I know Klay's dad played in the NBA. It's still like, okay, good luck. Saying you're going to win a championship is like, okay, good luck. I'm going to win 4 championships. Like, the amount that you have to believe in yourself and your ability to just switch that off and be like, okay, well, I guess I'm old now. Like, that's really difficult. And so I'm not surprised that it's ending this way, because when you have this many guys being paid this much money, how do you balance that?
No, yeah. Delusion is the number one ingredient of a successful NBA career. Because if someone told you there's 8 billion people on the planet, there are only 450, 500 that play in this league, already you're like, wait, what? And then you say, oh, yeah, you got to compete against all these tall, athletic people from all over the world. Like, wait, what? Like, all of it, you have to have, like, this insane level of self-belief. And for Klay Thompson, look, he tore his Achilles and his ACL and came back and won a championship and was a fixture of that team. And then the next year played even better. Last year, he had a really strong year offensively. So, yes, he struggled this year. He had to get benched at one point and all that. But this is all part and parcel of the struggle, of the narrative of like, yeah, they thought I couldn't do it. And here I am. Remember, this dude wasn't a top 3 pick. He was like the 12th pick in the draft. He played at Washington State, and he's a Hall of Famer. So, no, you play as long as you feel like it gives you joy, my man. Like, don't listen to anybody else.
Well, I'm sure that we're going to talk about the Warriors a lot this offseason. But for now, we'll be right back with Bet the Show. Except, hold on. I'm getting some breaking news. Kawhi Leonard has been named to that final roster spot on Team USA for the Olympics. And I'm told we have Kawhi with us. Kawhi, can you hear me? Am I coming through?
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to Oddball. It is time for the game you know and love, Bet the Show. Bet the Show is sponsored by DraftKings. And stay tuned, because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Amin, are you ready for some bets?
Yes, I am.
Okay, the first one. We have the Philly versus Miami play-in game tonight. Miami is the 8th seed. The Sixers are the 7th seed, and as of now, when we're recording this, the game spread is Philly -5.5. Right. The season series is tied 2-2, and Embiid and Butler only played in one game. So what are you taking here?
Well, I was at the game that they both played in, and it was a hard-fought game. It was Embiid's second or third game back, I believe, from injury. And we saw Tyrese Maxey have an amazing night and kind of carry the Sixers down the stretch as Embiid had a hot start and kind of ran out of steam. The Sixers, I said this before, I think the Sixers are going to win this game and go ahead and face the Knicks in the first round. But, Charlotte, these teams play close. And I think Jimmy Butler does have a sort of psychological thing, that hold that he has over Philadelphia. So I'm going to say 5.5, maybe too many points for the Sixers. And wow. I'm going to go with the Heat covering here. Although I still think the Sixers are going to win.
Okay. Okay. So Jimmy Butler, part of the playoff Jimmy, obviously, is the hold he has sort of over the entire league, I would say. His over-under, personally, is 23.5 points. And he had hit that number 18 times in 60 games this season, and has had 45 playoff games of 24-plus points in 119 playoff games. What are you taking here? Do you think he's going to go off for more than that?
Oh, see, this is the fun part, right? Because we've talked about Jimmy all year long. It's like, when's he going to turn it on? And then he turned it on a little bit after the All-Star break, but then he kind of went back. In fact, that game against Philly, that was the most noticeable part, that down the stretch, where was Jimmy Butler? It was actually Gary Terry Rozier, who was taking all the shots and being kind of the main engine down the stretch. But here's the deal. The Heat last played on Sunday, meaning they've had Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday off. And Jimmy Butler, off of 3-plus days of rest, plays his best basketball, Charlotte. Averages 21.5 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5.2 assists, and shooting a hair under 50% from the field. And a hair under 47% from three. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you to bang that over on Jimmy Butler, 23.5 points. I think he has a big game, but I don't know if it's enough to beat the Sixers.
Wow. I like those bets, Amin. I'm with you. I'm ride with him. Hashtag ride with Amin.
There you go. All right, Charlotte, now it's your turn. You get the carcass game. Atlanta versus Chicago. The game line is Bulls -3. The over-under is 222.5 total. Again, check DraftKingsSportsbook.com to make sure those latest numbers are accurate. Any chance one of these teams makes a run, Charlotte? By a run,
no.
I mean winning more than one game.
Well, someone has to win this game.
The Bulls
are favored here, and I feel like they're going to cover. I think they're going to win by more than three. Atlanta, they lost a bunch of games heading into the playoffs. Trae Young is back, I know, but they're Atlanta, and
they beat the Bulls twice this year. The two games they won were the ones where Trae Young didn't play. The two games they lost was the one where Trae Young did play. So.
Yeah, they've also been just terrible on the road. So I'm going to go with the Bulls, which would mean we would have a Heat-Bulls rematch of the play-in tournament last year, which I would like. Also, people forget that the Bulls have DeMar DeRozan, and DeMar DeRozan has DR DeRozan, his daughter, who makes an incredible screeching noise. He even posted it on his story during other teams' free throws, and I think actually makes a big difference in the game. So I'm not betting against her, Amin.
It absolutely did. I watched that game with my kids last year, and my kids were like, it's making a difference. And at first I was like, kids, these are pros. They cancel everything. I can't hear anything. But sure enough, man, that little screech, no matter what was happening in the crowd, it pierced through. And I can't remember what the numbers are now, but like they definitely shot worse when the kid was screeching than any other time. So
100%. There's something very particular about that sound. It's like it's a horror movie sound, but it's also funny at the same time, which I think is an absolutely brilliant mix by DR. So she's onto something.
Like her father, she has also impeccable timing.
She definitely does. Okay, we have one more bet here to close out today's show, and that is Will there be a buzzer beater win in a round one series? Okay. So right now we have Denver versus LA at plus 2,500. We have LA versus Dallas, Cleveland versus Orlando, Minnesota versus Phoenix. I just saw MIL and I was like, Milan versus.
Armani Milano. Shout out to Mike Hall.
Yeah, seriously. Those are all plus 2,200. I'm having so much trouble reading numbers today. I mean,
today.
I'm bright red right now. If you're not watching, you should be watching on the DK Network. And there have been 13 game-winning buzzer beaters in round one since 2000. The most recent one was Jason Tatum in 2022 against the Nets. What do you think? Are you going to take this?
I'm going to take, yes, I will say, and I'll tell you where it's going to happen. It's going to happen at Clippers versus Mavericks. These two teams don't like each other. These two teams are diametrically opposed. They played against each other in the playoffs before. There's lots of bad blood. There are not one, not two, but like four different great shot makers playing in this series. I'm absolutely saying that Clippers versus the plus 2,200, I'm taking that action for sure.
Okay. Okay. The way I said, would you bet, take my bet that the Mavs are going to win in five?
Yeah, nah, that you're on your own on that one. Five. Oh, my God. What if you're right? That's the crazy part.
That's what I mean. I had this feeling. It came, a premonition. It came over me. And I was like, I'm going to say this. I'm going to get roasted. But if I'm right, I mean, and that is how you play the content game. I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow after these playing games. I love finding out what happened. It's the best thing in the world. The playoffs are here. And here at DraftKings, I mean, Oddball and DraftKings, we've got you covered.
Yeah. The crowd is yours. And also every day but Monday. See? It all flows together.
Beautiful.
Imagine being a caveman and every day you wake up, you're like, I'm hungry. All right, let me get my spear and go out there and a saber tooth and I might die. And you kill it and you skin it and you gut it and then you cook it and you eat it. And I'm like, all right, that was breakfast, right? And then one day as a caveman, someone walks up and says, it's called a McGriddle.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.